Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
So isn't it great we don't have to be in a church building to be in the presence of God, huh? This place feels better than I think it ever has. Thank you, Father, that you're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We need you more than we even know. So let us know. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. I think we're going to receive communion together. We do this a little differently on the plaza than we do normally. So just grab a grape and a piece of bread as it comes by, and I'll wait till everybody has some. This is one of the best days for us throughout the year to talk about mission, because we're out here. We're not worshiping God tucked away in some safe place where the rest of the city can't see us. We're out in the open, where anybody can see us. And we're bringing the kingdom of God by our own submission to Jesus and our own obedience to him as king. We've brought his kingdom to this place. And that's cool, because later on, at least tomorrow night, this will be a beer garden. And it probably will just about every night this week, but right now it's a holy place. Because the people of God are gathered here in his name, and we're meeting with him. So a few weeks ago, I gave a message on the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And we talked about how some of the other traditions view what we're doing. And the conclusion that I've come to is that there's a whole lot more happening here as we celebrate the body and blood of Jesus than we understand. And our challenge is to prepare our hearts and to receive from this celebration more than we understand. As Jesus said very plainly, that we couldn't follow him without eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And that was one of the strangest things that he could have said, and it was at the peak of his popularity, and it caused the majority of the people who were listening to him, and probably many who had been following him, to say, wow, I just don't know if I can keep following this guy. But we know what he was pointing toward. And so we look back with thanksgiving at what Jesus accomplished for us with his body that was broken and striped like this bread in a brutal form of torture, and then giving up what was left of his life and pouring out his blood on that cross for us. And that is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus received all of our punishment for all of our sins. And we just have to receive that payment. Are we all ready now? Not quite, or we are? Well, let's partake together today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We receive all that it purchased for us. We receive all the benefits of your body, and we partake. Thank you. Let's receive. And the fruit of the vine is a little less processed than what we normally receive. But it's just as functional. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was poured out for us voluntarily. The life is in the blood. And you gave yours for us. So we partake and we receive all the benefits of your blood within us. Thank you. Strengthen us in our spirit. So, today out here on the plaza, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was going to look at part of chapter 5 because it really talks about our mission, but I kept going farther back to make sure I got the right context. And I ended up almost at the beginning of chapter 4. And Paul talking about what life was like to be a first century follower of Jesus. It meant something different than we in our safe American Christianity tend to think that it means. And I think for many of us who feel like we're being stretched right now, and I believe many of us are being stretched right now, because God has some good purposes that he's working in that. But I think as we look at this passage, we can't help but be encouraged in where we are and what we're going through. And God wants to strengthen us to be a people who are on mission together. Because the mission of the gospel, the mission of the kingdom that Jesus came and left with a handful of people is not just mine. Because I'm a leader and because it's my job to lead this church. The mission of the gospel and the mission of the kingdom is for everyone who has called upon the name of Jesus. So let's look at this passage. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 or chapter 4 verse 7 and go to the end of the chapter. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You see, what we just received with the Lord's Supper today, there was spiritual power in that. And we received it in these frail human frames that we currently live in. That, you know, we see daily that life hangs by a thread. And that thread can break at any time. But we have something from heaven within our frail human frames, within these jars of clay. And there's an intent there that the power of God would be shown through us. That means Paul is saying that there's something for every one of us to do that is far beyond the capability of these jars of clay. That's far beyond what our frail human capacity is. And he says later in chapter 5 that we become a new kind of creature when Jesus comes to dwell within us. That's what he's getting at here. And when the power of God is shown through us, who are just frail human beings, then the world has to sit up and take notice. Now, what Paul goes on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. It doesn't sound like it was real easy to be on the mission of the first century church, does it? Should we expect anything easier just because we happen to have been born in 20th or 21st century America? No. We've had it easier, but as I taught a couple weeks ago on our proper response to where our country is at, that response being to cry out for God's mercy for our country, because in a lot of ways our country is going in a very bad direction, away from God and against God more and more. So, you know, as I look at that and I look at the mission of the church in the first century, and I think about the relative ease that we have been able to live our Christian experience, is that ease that we have enjoyed because we haven't really been fulfilling our mission. Because something's been going pretty horribly wrong in our country for most of my lifetime. And, you know, I've got to take at least a little bit of responsibility for that, I think. Because I've been a follower of Jesus most of my life. And this has happened on my watch. It's happened to the people that I'm responsible for. This country. So, what do we need to do to get back to our mission? What do we need to do to fulfill our mission? I think more. And it's not necessarily that we have to do more, but I think we have to do what we've been doing differently. And I really intended to finish this passage, but I don't know if we're going to. See, our mission as Cheyenne Vineyard is to be a people who love God, who love people, and serve the world. And that mission, those words are based on some things that Jesus told us to do. You remember when one of the religious leaders came to Jesus, who was actually one of the good ones, and he asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. And he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know, over the years I've helped some people in marriages that were rocky, and tried to counsel people in relationships. And one of the key things to making a marriage work is having hearts that are connected. Because then you can love. Well, going back to that first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. Have we really connected with the things that are on God's heart today for Cheyenne? And if we have connected with the heart of God for those things, are they a driving passion in our life? Because that's what it looks like to love someone with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means that you want to see that person receive what would bring them joy. That's to truly love someone. That's what that looks like. You want to know what they want. And then you want to see them get what they want. Because seeing them receive joy, it brings you joy. When they have your heart. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to bring a heavy thing down on us today, but as I look at the church in America, I think we're pretty disconnected from the heart of God. And that means we got to get back to mission. Our mission is to love God. And that's not because God is out there needy, that he is lacking something that he wants to get from us. That's not it. It's because he knows that if we live a life connected to him in love, that it's going to result in blessing. It's going to result in his kingdom coming. It's going to result in the world around us in our sphere being changed. And eternally, it's going to result in us receiving a great reward. And those are all the things that he wants for us. So, you know, today as we think about what it means to be people on a mission together, I think we need to dig a little deeper at what that means. You see, as the church, we're not just supposed to be people who come together on Sunday and worship together and encourage each other, and then we just go and we do our own thing. No, we're all on mission 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when we come together on Sunday, we're sharing our stories of what's happening in our mission, and we're needing encouragement from each other. We're needing to minister to each other so that we can keep going. Because that's how Paul could say, We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed because there are things happening that we don't understand. But we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we know we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Because we're always carrying the Spirit of Jesus in us, and He's always moving us and strengthening us. So, this city needs a people raised up who are connected with the heart of God. And who live to see Him get what He wants. And I don't know what kind of change that requires for each one of us. But I have a feeling it requires some change for us to get there. To get our hearts really connected to the heart of God. So I think I just want to pray for us today. Because this isn't something that we can fix ourselves. This is something that we have to ask God to fix in us and for us. But if we really ask Him to, He will. So I invite you to pray with me. This is fun, isn't it? Yes, hello. I'm glad your horn works. I invite you to pray with me as I pray. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to see our country completely go down the tubes. And we're headed in that direction. And if some people somewhere don't really get connected with God and really demonstrate the kingdom, then I think we're going down the tubes. So if not now, when? And if not us, who? Okay, let's pray. Father, you're so deserving of our devotion, of our affection, of our commitment. You've done for us more than we ever would have considered asking for. And now you just want us to be your people. So, Father, I ask that you'd awaken our hearts to yours. I ask that you'd connect our hearts to yours at a deeper level. I ask, Father, that you would raise up a people here whose heartbeat is to see you get what you want. To see the glory of your name restored. So, Lord, in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of life, help us to turn our hearts to you and to truly be your people and to join you on your mission to bring restoration. And to destroy the works of the devil. Because that's why Jesus came. So, Lord, we're here and we say, choose us. And do a work. For the sake of our city, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our nation. And we praise you because you're worthy. And we give you thanks for making us different kind of creatures. Lord, let your kingdom come this week in our city. Satan, we declare you can't have Cheyenne this week. Jesus is the King, and His kingdom has come. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for worshiping today out in public on the plaza. And we're going to actually do a baptism back at the vineyard here. Probably it's going to probably take us a half hour to get over there. But if you want to join us for that, you're welcome to. But if you've got other stuff to do, feel free to do that as well. So be blessed and be safe this week. And the Holy Spirit fill you and go with you. Amen.